Yo, yo, as always, your boy Jordan Red, man. How y'all doing? Oh, Jay Red, how y'all doing out there? I'm feeling good.
And this your boy Jamar Fresh.
Yo, this is it's kind of unique, unique setup right now. We got Bo York with us.
Hey.
Or we're with Bo York live right now in the Pottery Studios.
Yeah.
Let's talk kickback.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. Next stop kickback.
Bo York is amazing, bro. Like before the show, I was like, bro, I wish I had your energy and your drive and your focus. Like, whatever you doing in the morning, bro, like Red said, I don't know if it's a good night's rest or a good breakfast. Like, whatever it is, I want that, bro.
Two kids, man. Two kids will do it to you.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have the energy to keep up pace with them, then now they'll leave you in the dust. You got to start early.
But you want to get to the real reason why we're here?
I mean, first of all, man, let the people know about you.
Today is a very special day. We're recording this on May 12th. This is a Thursday. And it is my 25th birthday.
Happy birthday. happy birthday from the Shoney's gang.
He reminded me that we had to go to the Pottery Studios today, but I kind of slipped my mind this morning until he kind of texted me. So I'm just not waking up. So excuse my brain a little fried. So I literally just got up, you know.
Welcome and happy birthday.
Yeah.
25?
25.
All right.
Did you know this, Bo? When you turn 25, you're OG. Like,
is that how it goes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Supposedly.
But young now.
But people just make that up. People kind of, you know, kind of make stuff up like that.
Man, I'll be 32 on the 23rd.
Oh, man.
So
well,
right around the corner.
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought you were like 40.
What? Whoa. All right, get out.
No, I'm just playing. But I always knew you was older, you know what I'm saying? Or especially more mature, but I didn't. You know.
Older, wow.
Definitely
okay.
More mature.
Man.
Yeah.
Man, all right, I see how it is. That's fine. That's fine.
But besides podcasts, I'm sorry, what you got any other hobbies besides podcasting?
Man, podcasting isn't a hobby, man. Podcasting is my...
Yeah,
it's my job. So so of course, Pottery, which we have based here in Jackson, Mississippi, right on State Street. Mm-hmm. We produce a number of shows, including Let's Talk Jackson, which is mm-hmm. focused to the local area, which is great. We also do a podcast, which is now I will say this. This podcast is more of fun, which is Panel to Screen, which is more of our comic book movie podcast. Yeah. I know we'll be talking about that later.
That's the one I'm very familiar with.
Yeah. So we got that. And then we've also got I own a startup in Jackson. We just got funded, which I'm really excited about. And so we've been building out a podcast platform that allows for people to support podcasts they're listening to. So like, you know, your listeners, if they like what they're listening to, if they like you guys, they want to support you, they want to help make you a little bit of money, they can actually press a donate button, send you some dollars while they're listening to the podcast. Also, we are also the first podcast player to discover podcasts in your local area. So you got locally focused as well as locally sourced. To really kind of drive community around podcasting. So yeah, man, podcasting is my life. But check that out. It's a Satchel podcast player. It's available on Android. It will be available on iPhone coming June, so next month.
Yeah, Bo making major moves out here for the whole podcast culture.
Trying to.
If you need a street team, the guys promote that for you.
I may. Local podcasting is, I mean, like that's, we're committed to really kind of driving podcasting as a community builder, right? And so, yeah, no, I think boots on the ground street team would be great.
See, Bo, this is Bo does this. Me and Josh just.
I'm so lazy, man.
We lazy and we.
Whatever, man.
And we still students.
that's good.
It's a lot of stuff I still don't understand about podcasts.
Well, we're all students, man. I'm still a student. We're a student till the day we die.
You're our OG.
I'll take it.
For the culture, Bobo. Yeah.
But look, you guys, y'all were actually boots on the ground. That's how we met. At the Fondren's First Thursday with y'all. Y'all had flyers and everything. I felt embarrassed. I was like, man, we need to. Like they were all professional and they had your headshots on them. And I was like, wow, we just have a little doodle right now.
Yeah, see, when we first started, we were just kind of like really boots on the ground. We really ain't, you know, we didn't know much about it. So we kind of just, you know, read up on it, you know, did our research, like try to buy some equipment, you know. And the first equipment we had, we was recording off I don't know if you're familiar with like these Rode camera mics.
Oh, yeah.
They were, you know, these mics are, especially the mics we got now are way better, but we were recording off Rode mics and it was just like off of H1.
It was crazy.
Zoom, yeah. Zoom H1. It was crazy.
Look, you got to start somewhere. Like the first mic that I had, it wasn't bad. It wasn't these, but I mean, like I started off real small with kind of like a one little input deal. I knew I wanted to have good quality. That was a big thing with me. I wanted to make sure there was good audio quality. But you know, and not, the other thing too is I knew I wanted to do it not just as a hobby, but professionally. So, I mean, I tapped out small businesses, reached out to small businesses about creating podcasts about them. And, so for example, Country Squire Radio is actually a podcast about pipes and pipe tobacco. Mm. We're the number one podcast on the subject matter in the world. We've now got corporate sponsorship behind us, which is great. Yeah. And it's allowed me to afford to upgrade the mics and everything else, which is awesome.
How do you make that transition though, Bo, like for people who trying to, what's the recipe like?
to go from hobby to professional? Yeah. I mean, I would say just always, so start small and grow organically, right? So, you know, as you know, with the market that you have, with the listeners that you've got, I mean, actually, this is more of a charge to you guys that are listening right now. Y'all need to support the podcast. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, we actually, for the first year and a half, we did an annual drive. It was the Christmas time. We said, hey, you know, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, go to this website, go to PayPal, wherever it was, and send us money. We had kind of a goal that we wanted to hit to allow us to upgrade our equipment. We gave away a percentage of it to charity. The first year we did it, this is our goal. So half of that money, we gave to charity. And then I realized after the fact, like, man, we made a nice little chunk of change here, but now we have to give away half of it, which is good because it went to a good cause, but. So the next year we did it, we actually used more of a subscription service where it was kind of a monthly deal where listeners would give X amount of dollars a month and whatever 1 month's of revenue that we got in, we gave away half of that to the same charity. And so, you know, we did that at first organically. And then we just, after that kind of reached out specifically to advertisers in our market segment. Because a benefit of podcasting is you can get really, really focused, right? So like, you know, you're not going to tune in the radio and hear somebody talking about pipes and pipe tobacco. True. You know, that is a very specific market.
Yeah.
Let's Talk Jackson. I mean, that is a very specific market because it's regionally focused. So,
entrepreneurs in Jackson.
Yeah. And so we're able to tap local people who are trying to advertise their products in a new way, especially an exciting way like podcasting. Guys, you're on the ground floor. I mean, you got a ton of opportunity here. I think that y'all can really capitalize on
this. I was just talking to the guys that do the, I don't know if you remember, like the Comprehensive Beatdown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And those guys and one more, Rogue's Gent.
Oh, yeah. I love the Rogue's Gent.
Yeah. And I was talking to them guys.
What's the other guy we had on the show?
Darius.
Yeah. Is the token
talk? Token talk.
I just became aware of them.
Yeah.
They need to register with, if y'all are listening, y'all need to register with Satchel.
Yeah.
Y'all haven't registered with us yet.
Yeah, they just popped up on the scene. But I was talking to them about the, they seem like they got it too. I think we just, we were talking about coming together, maybe potentially making a network or something.
Yeah.
Or getting together, everybody having a website or having the same content.
We need to have some sort of meetup.
Yeah.
That needs to happen. Like, I've got.
Everybody, man, forget y'all. Everybody been talking about meeting up, but ain't nobody meet up. Like.
Look, I did. I actually did. I started a meetup group for podcasters. Yeah. Nobody showed up. You even said you were going to be there. You didn't show up.
Really?
Yeah.
I seen the ones where it was like a.
I was fine. I'm just going to say it was your birthday that day, too.
I seen the ones you was at Starbucks. You were like, yo, come through if you want to talk about.
Yeah. We did have the first meetup. We had a good, so the first meetup, only like two people showed up and they were more interested in podcasting than actual podcasters. Mm. The next one, we had a good group of like eight people. Mm. And then like a couple months went by and I didn't do anything with it, but we've got like 60 people signed up for that group. I just haven't done anything with it. But we need to get together. We need to do something.
Mm. Location.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And this thing about podcasts, cause like they're like, to me, I love them. Like, I listen to tons of podcasts.
And like, I found myself listening to talk radio more now. Mm-hmm. And like, just like, I love sports. So like all the like ESPN sports, you know, podcasts.
Sure.
I listen to them like every day now. It's like, it's crazy.
ESPN, you know, when I was going around pitching the idea for Satchel and just kind of the power of podcasting.
It was before you actually made Satchel?
Well, it was before I actually made Satchel. And then also after we made the first version of it, mm-hmm. I was going around to, you know, potential investors and trying to explain to them like, look, podcasting is the future. Mm-hmm. And I would actually reference a podcast called Watch the Thrones, which is about HBO's Game of Thrones. Mm. And it's actually produced not by HBO, but produced by ESPN. Oh. And so, like, you know, these major media players are understanding the benefits here, and they're doing some interesting things with it. But
ESPN over Game of Thrones?
No. They're not. Podcast. They got a podcast on it. Because that's the deal. They can tap into a market share that they don't normally have access to. Mm-hmm. And so it's a huge opportunity.
People will pay
for it. Mm-hmm. Well, advertisers will.
Great PR strategies.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, but y'all didn't want to talk to me about podcasting.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I want to talk every chance I get. Like, really, every chance I see you, I want to talk about podcasts.
All right.
I remember last time I saw you, we talked about, I asked you, how did you monetize it? And you told me how to, and check my stats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, now we ain't got to sit here and talk about podcasts.
No. Look, I'm happy to
talk about numbers. Like, this isn't algebra class.
Yeah.
Like.
Hit the analytics and the data, and everybody's falling asleep.
But Bo has an on-air sign outside his door.
No, I made that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
from the what you call it, the what button is that?
So it's those closet lights, right? The battery-powered closet lights. You attach it in, and you click it on, and it comes on. So I took that, and then I just got those stickers and just spelled out on-air, and then spray painted it red.
See, we need to, because people just walk in my room. Like, I mean, we record out my room.
Can't have that.
Yeah. We don't have.
We po pimping.
Look, man, that cost me all of like $5. Yeah. I mean, it was I had to do it. I had to wait for the spray paint to dry, but it was pretty easy.
Yeah, it's dope.
Because that stuff can get expensive too.
Yeah, it can.
Just for an on air sign. Like, if you want an authentic on air sign, you have to pay like a couple $100. I'm like, absolutely not.
And then you got to be like remote, so you can like turn it off, turn it on, like radio station.
Yeah, which would be cool, but we're not radio, we're podcasting. But yeah, so one of the podcasts I do, of course, Panel to Screen, which is about comic books and comic book movies. I know y'all don't care anything about comic books or comic book movies.
I want to say I listened to when I saw it. I mean, every time a movie comes out, like Batman versus Superman or anything anticipated, I always be sure to check Panel to Screen.
Oh, thank you.
I think I listened to the first maybe 30 minutes of the last one you put out.
On Civil War?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did y'all cover like the TV shows too?
Yeah.
Like
The Netflix series.
Daredevil and Arrow. Daredevil. And stuff like that.
So we do the Netflix series just because they're, you know, whenever a season comes out, it's a relatively quick. I mean, it's like 14 hours. But once you carve through that 14 hours, we put kind of a season review type deal. Mm-hmm. For the longer series, we actually do have a dedicated show that is more regular, more professional, called Flash TV Talk, about the CW's Flash, which is honestly is one of the best things on television right now. It's so good. And we actually, that's a fun show. We've been honored to have John Wesley Shipp, who portrayed the original 90s Flash and currently plays Barry Allen's father on that show. We've had him on our podcast. We've had Patrick Sabongi, who plays the police chief on the show. We've had
do they
Chad
all come, like, do you go to them or
like how you get
so it's kind of an interesting thing, right? So Warner Brothers owns DC, right?
Yeah.
And so they are real, like, back in the day, from what I understand, they used to be real loosey-goosey with like their people. Like if you wanted to get somebody on your show, it was real easy. Now they've been kind of cracked down so that you have to go through all these PR channels. I really didn't want to do that, and we haven't really wanted to do that for anybody. Mm. So we've just been tweeting people, and those that actually want to kind of bypass the route.
Resources.
Well, and the other thing too is we started off the podcast about we knew we wanted to do an after show because it's a good way. I'm giving away all my trade secrets here. we knew we wanted to do a we knew we wanted to do an after show about a television series because. Yeah. There's this huge kind of big supply demand moment whenever a new series comes out because people are going to look for that water cooler type discussion on a television show. And so Arrow already had a large following. We knew that Flash as a tie-in would be really good. At the time, there was only one other podcast about the Flash series that hadn't even come out yet. And I mean, it's fine for what it is, but we knew we could kind of bring something special to it. So we basically took an ESPN style approach to commentary on the Flash television series.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And so that kind of by design, we wanted a good high energy, passion, high intensity, all that kind of stuff. You're laughing because you're thinking that's how I always am. but anyway, so we took that approach. And did a few episodes leading up to the series. And we actually had one of the actors that was in the pilot episode, a guy named Chad Rook, who's actually going to be in the upcoming Planet of the Apes movie, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But he played the weather wizard on the first episode of The Flash. And he reached out to us. He was leaking us information from like the set of while they were recording the pilot.
And do that?
Actually, should I say that? I don't know if I've ever. we had an inside source. But anyway, he said that he loved loved our podcast. It's the best one out there about The Flash. He wanted to come on our show. And so we had him on right before the pilot went, and that gave us a ton of credibility from the get-go. So that was kind of a nice right place, right time type of
moment. It really shows like how good that you all are, like, you know, like putting the show together and like, you know, coming up with.
I got several shows.
Yeah.
You know, I'm big on kind of, so like, Country Squire Radio is a good example. So it's a show about pipes and pipe tobacco. We wanted to take the spirit of like a mom and pop pipe tobacco cigar shop, and give this kind of warm hangout feeling, but we styled it very much like a morning radio show, you know? So there was kind of there was a unique energy and also kind of almost like a magazine style to it as well. And so, you know, I like finding a niche focus where I know there's going to be interest that also there's not a ton of competition in terms of the podcasting space. And then also just really approaching it with a lot of thought, right? And what's going to really meet the listener and be kind of a delight to them and that sort of thing.
See, I think all our listeners are mainly like rappers.
No, man.
Rappers from Jackson.
Who is it?
Rappers from Jackson. That's
Look, we need to lift up the rappers in Jackson a little bit more.
It's a lot of good ones.
Absolutely.
I kind of want to.
Y'all had Dollar Black on your show, right?
No, we need to, though.
Yeah, we need
He's on my list for season 3 of Let's Talk Jackson.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, I got a whole list of people.
He was on my list of season 2, but we finished out the season. I wasn't able to get him.
See, y'all got seasons.
We were supposed to have seasons 1, season. We're supposed to be on season 2 right now, supposedly, but we kind of just winging it and just going, you know.
Yeah. I'm between seasons right now. We do a 20 episode at a time every single week without fail. Mm. And then we take about a month off in between, month and a half, depending on when we finish. But now I want to get who do we have? We had Pi Infamous. Kerry Thomas's R&B is not rap, but that's about it. We did not have nearly enough musicians this last past season.
Yeah.
Where are the comedians? Like, where are the
We had Merk B. We had Sharita Brett. Season 1, we had a pretty good comedian. I'm blanking on his name. But he's really funny. He came in drunk. it was an interesting interview. I had to edit around that one a lot.
But we got to get into this, man. You know, we got to get into, you know, Civil War, man.
No, we don't. Civil War. No, I'm just kidding.
Are you Team Iron Man? Or are you Team Cap?
All right. So, did y'all read the comics?
I read the comic,
the graphic novel.
I
gotta understand. Segregation. Not the Segregation Act, but the Registration
Act.
Yeah.
Well, dude, as we were talking about yesterday with Darius. Darius on our podcast today, and I think we were talking about. I think when I read was more about like identities and like the mask, or it was a mask villains versus
unmasked villains. Yeah.
And it was more of a, like an American thing as opposed to an international thing, like the movie. The thing is, so in the comic, even though everybody thought he was a bad guy, I was kind of Team Iron Man because I could see his argument.
I was telling Derry, like, he slick made sense with his point of view, though. Like, they were just, you know, killing innocent people, even though they were fighting for the greater good, but it's like, you know, somebody got to take up for the. Just kill little running them. Like, you can't just run them over. Like, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like.
I even said, I think I compared it to like, you know, at a hospital, if somebody dies in surgery, you know, the doctor's trying to save that person. But if somebody dies in surgery, there's still an accountability. Like, they still like call that doctor in and look, review the case. And there's, you know, there's processes in. Exactly.
Yeah, like, you gotta.
So, I mean, like, you know, it's the same basic principle. And Tony made, Iron Man made the case that, like, look, if we don't do this to ourselves, they're going to do it to us. Mm-hmm. Right. And so. I was Team Iron Man. At the same time, I could also completely understand where Cap was coming from.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, where they ended up is probably actually the best possible way to address it, because you kind of have the best of both worlds with that. But
the movie was excellent, though. It was way better than Batman versus Superman.
You can't even compare those two.
Or Fantastic Four. That was awful.
Fan 4 stick.
Deadpool was cool, though.
I enjoyed Deadpool. But
then, like, you think X-Men going to be dope?
What's his name? Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
But one of the things I liked about Civil War was I think what everybody liked was the characters.
Dude, there were so many.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I think Spider-Man really, like, cause I remember on the previews, like, he swung down and got Captain America's shield.
Right.
He talked all like, this dude is like 14 or something.
He's 14 and he's from Queens too. He's like, hey, Mr. Stark, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to help you out. It was like, that. I've never heard Peter Parker sound like he's actually from New York. That was so good.
Yeah.
No, he was great. And the cool thing is, even in the previews, like, you know, you saw that one scene where he gets the shield, But like, if even the previews they're running right now, there's that scene where they pan over the heroes right on either side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the movie, Spider-Man's standing there with Team Iron Man. But in the commercial, he's not there. Yeah. Like they squish, I think, War Machine and Black Widow right next to each other where Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if like they shot that before they found out.
They did that because they wanted people to go see the movie.
Maybe so.
Because I remember when the third trailer came out, that's when we saw Spider-Man. Because I didn't know. Yeah. I had no idea Spider-Man was going to be in it.
No, that shocked me.
I'm like, oh my God.
The weird thing is, I think I actually remember reading that he was going to be in the film, and I kind of almost forgot about it because like we saw no promotional stuff.
But everybody knew Black Panther was going
to
be.
Oh, dude!
Yeah.
So the idea was when they first, started pitching the idea of Civil War, and they first kind of did the big announcement at Disney, whatever it is, Disney 2-3 or whatever their big expo. They brought out Cap and Stark, and then they brought out Boseman, what's his name that played T'Challa?
T'Challa.
The guy that played Black Panther?
I don't know his real name at all.
He played James Brown.
Jackie Robinson in 42.
That's right. So they brought him out to, and they kind of sold it on the idea that Black Panther was going to be kind of the Spider-Man role. Now this was before they got access to Spider-Man, right? Yeah. And so the idea was that he was going to be kind of caught between the two. Mm. Now, I guess because they got Spider-Man in, they changed the story a little bit, but kept kind of the Black Panther storyline as a primary through line.
Gotcha.
I kind of compare it to, you had kind of these ideological differences, right, between Cap and Iron Man, but Black Panther was kind of the soul of the film.
He was, yeah,
right?
He was.
And I mean, like, he's the one that you experience, a lot of the themes they're dealing with, especially with like the loss of parents and this idea of vengeance versus justice.
Tony Stark father and mother,
man.
And then that was his homeboy, and then that's how you tie in Black Panther because he's trying to kill because he thinks
and in all fairness, there's no reason why not he shouldn't think that, right? Because the video actually showed it was the whole face off type situation. But like, that's the thing, when he first came in there and Black Widow's like, don't worry, we're gonna go in there, we're gonna find him. He's like, no, I will kill him myself.
I was like, this Black Panther. I didn't know who Black Panther was at that point. I was like, oh, this Black Panther right there.
It was, for me, it was kind of a little bit of an interesting line because on the one hand, he's a hero.
Yeah.
And while we see Marvel heroes kill, there was something about like a vengeance, a vendetta that didn't fit. But then you remember that, he's a hero, but he's also a king and a judge, right?
Yeah.
And so like he represents not just a hero, but somebody who executes justice for his people. Mm. Now he's being driven by vengeance, and that's where the soul, of the film comes in.
Yeah,
and,
it's working good. Yeah.
Man, that powerful moment at the end when like, because the fights are all beautiful and everything else, and him in particular.
He doesn't kill the guy. He said the living is not done with you.
That was awesome. That was awesome. And he's just boom right there.
I sound like a geek.
That's all right.
I think what I enjoyed like most, but I remember, I like the car chase scene when they was running so fast,
running past the cars.
And he kind of like Black Panther kind of like hawked him down. Man,
they look big? Like all of them look like they were 6 foot. Like when they jumped down in the street, like why did they look bigger than the car?
And the way they introduced Ant Man and Black Panther and Spider Man, you remember on DC they introduced them in the email.
Yeah, they introduced Aquaman, Flash.
Oh my God.
That's the thing. So what we got in this movie was the establishment of a Black Panther, right? We got his origin story part of his origin story in this movie. We also got a Spider-Man introduced. You're exactly right. It's to compare it with the Batman versus Superman. Like that felt so tacked on and so stupid in Batman versus Superman.
We gotta add this in.
Got to add it in.
Like, just squish it on in there. It doesn't fit. Don't worry. We'll just get it in there. Nothing in this movie fits. It'll be fine.
But you're a movie buff, right? So last year the big movie was Star Wars. Do you think Civil War could compete with Star Wars?
No, absolutely not. I tell people.
Do you
this.
Think the Marvel Cinematic Universe
they don't have
compete
to compete
with Star Wars?
They don't have
it's
to
like
compete.
In its own lane.
I mean, So.
I mean,
compete might not be the but I don't know that compete's the word that I would choose. It is kind of that status, right? Because it's a franchise that
it's good. Like
it's so good.
But those two movies, from what I see, people can Spider-Man can die and suffocate or whatever, but they be out in these planets with no
it's
I know
alien.
You can't breathe.
Right.
So I mean they two different worlds. So
completely different worlds. But I will say this. I mean, for me. So the great thing about Civil War is what it did is it recaptured the same feeling I got when I first saw the Avengers, which is, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm actually seeing this happen in a movie. You know, like even the sequel to the Avengers when they're fighting Ultron, I didn't have that same specialness.
The first one was epic. Like
that around that pan around scene they did with all the heroes there, they're like, oh my gosh, it's happening. Same thing happened with, like, throughout this movie, especially as they were fighting and introducing all these different characters and Spider-Man was there. It's just, there's this feeling of like, oh my gosh, this is happening. I'm seeing this. That was kind of on, I would put that pretty close to the level of Star Wars, but I do say, you know, in my life, there are three defining moments that are like, for me, just very emotional and will always stay with me. That's the moment I got married and saw my wife walk down the aisle. That's when I became a father, and that's when I saw Episode 7 right there on the big screen and hear the music play. And understand, I didn't say every time my child was born, I said when I became a father. So if my second child ever figures out that she comes right after Star Wars, then we got a problem. No, I'm just kidding.
But
I love you, baby.
One thing about Star Wars, I feel like it wasn't enough Jedi in the last one.
No, I disagree, man. Really? They had way too many Jedi in the prequels. And using it sparingly, I kind of wanted...
I could see that movie, not to cut you off. I could see that movie kind of like bridging the gap to the final three films. Mm-hmm. Like, you know it's going to be 10, so it was like, you know, we're going to give you...
Return of the Jedi. We're
going to see old Luke Skywalker. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He's
like,
going to train her.
Yeah.
Man.
Do you think Rogue One gonna be good?
Like, I was not excited for it until I saw the trailer, and then the trailer actually kind of got me excited.
What's she gonna do? She's so tiny.
I think that she. I have a theory about her. Do y'all know who Mara Jade is?
Mara Jade.
Yeah. So Mara Jade I'm going into like nerd territory here. So Mara Jade in the books, like in the Star Wars books that took place after Return of the Jedi, there was this character, Mara Jade, who was known as the Emperor's Hand. And she was kind of a dark Jedi assassin, essentially. And so and throughout the course after the Empire falls, she's going out there and Luke actually meets her, turns her to the light, and they, of course, get married and go off and have wonderful children together. And so my thought is that I'm not saying she is Mara Jade, but I think that she's going to be the Mara Jade counterpart.
Oh.
Like that she's going to be the mother of Rey.
Yeah.
That's my thought. And that she actually may act in this movie, even though she's being kind of led to be the hero. I think she may actually be a villain. I think she's
the trailer,
agent.
Right? Yeah. The trailer, she had at the end, she had like the...
The black shit on. Oh, sorry.
No, like I said, this is your show.
Yeah.
I'll have y'all back for Let's Talk Jackson, and I'll have so I can have my two mics and everything when we do that. And I'll for that one, we got to be more careful. But this is y'all's show.
I let
so
it
y'all
slip.
Do it.
I'm sorry. He gonna think I'm unprofessional.
I've heard your show before.
Oh, well, it'll be cool then. Yeah. This ain't like any of our other shows.
No.
I'll tell you that.
it get real in
But what I'm excited though, like y'all said, though, I'm excited to see the Black Panther film. Mm. And I like how they kind of ended it, the movie, with like Bucky, you know, he's still in Wakanda.
You want to talk about Star Wars. In this movie, this is the Empire Strikes Back, the Marvel Universe, because somebody lost an arm and they got frozen in carbonite.
Oh, that's Han Solo.
There you go. Mm.
Who lost their... Oh, Luke Winter Soldier. Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. Luke Skywalker lost his arm in the Empire. But yeah. Winter Soldier gets both. He loses his arm and then he gets frozen in carbonite.
Why did he die, though? Like, he's no longer valuable.
Who? Winter Soldier?
He ain't got no arm. Like, he gonna get another arm.
He'll get another arm, and this time it'll be vibranium.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because he's in Wakanda. And so, like,
so
Wakanda...
So he gonna be a good dude. Oh, that's how you figure the story gonna go.
I will say this. I was surprised at the end of the movie that Cap was still alive. I thought that Cap was gonna die. I thought that he was gonna die in this movie, and that we were gonna go to Infinity War, which is the upcoming, you know, Avengers film, with... Like, I thought that we were going to go into that movie with a dead Cap. Mm. I think that Thor, I still think that Thor is going to die in his upcoming movie. I think that Hulk.
Why are these people going to die?
Because in Infinity, so I don't want to spoil anything because I don't know what they're going to do. But
I'm not going to read it.
In the comics, you know, that gauntlet, the one that Thanos, the big purple dude, whenever.
Without an Infinity Stone.
So the idea is that gauntlet has the power over life and death, right? So with it, he could eradicate life, but it could also resurrect life. So my thought is that at some point in Infinity War, Tony Stark is going to get the gauntlet from Thanos, and he's going to be the one that resurrects the Avengers, maybe at the cost of his own life. Because, I mean, Tony, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is getting up there.
Yeah.
So you think so? Deaths are coming.
I think they have to
be. Time for by Robert Downey to take that L.
I mean, you know, I think that...
He's the truth, man.
He's been so great, but And I love that he's going to be in the new Spider-Man movie. Did y'all hear that?
What?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he
yeah.
is
going to be in there. Yeah. Tony Stark's going to be in the new Spider-Man movie.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that.
I can't wait. After that scene with him hitting on Aunt May and everything in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has to be. I loved it.
Yeah.
And like, it was like...
He's slick, and like we can't forget Paul Rudd. Like I'm glad, like
yeah, he's all right. I'm like the only person on the planet that's not a big fan of Paul Rudd. I mean, he's fine. I just don't love him.
You don't like a 40-year-old virgin?
He's fine. Like you know, he's. I mean, like it's not like
we're, this is 40. Like he got some life.
He's just Paul Rudd. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, he's the same guy in every single film for yeah. the most
part. What's the dinner for Smucks? Like, I guess the movie he was with Stephen Carell.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But yeah, he's so definitely funny. The same person in every movie.
I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. Everybody loves him. I'm just like the only one. And so when they announced that he was going to be Ant-Man, I was kind of like, oh,
He was
okay.
super excited.
It's fine. Yeah. You know, also they changed it so that this is not, like, I thought they were going to go Hank Pym, like the old guy from Ant-Man in the comics. Mm. I mean, he is the current Ant-Man. Yeah, he's not an old guy. And so I don't know.
Paul Rudd was Ant-Man too, right?
Yeah. So Man Scott too. Lang was kind of the second Ant-Man.
But it
kind of
makes sense to figure out where it's going, where they're picking it up at. Mm.
I like that they have established in the Marvel Universe there's like generational heroes.
Yeah.
And that like, you know, maybe at some point they could even go back and tell an Ant-Man story taking place like fighting the Russians, right? So like when we saw that scene of him and Wasp on the missile when she goes subatomic, they could do an entire, like they could do a Netflix series about that as a period piece if they wanted to. That'd be a lot of
fun. That's
why
they need you. We need you around. that's $1 million idea.
No, look, they don't need me to give them ideas, man. Marvel is killing it. Yeah, like Kevin Feige, the guy that's in charge of like managing all these things, like that's why DC is messing up. Like I was reading this article last night, actually. I couldn't sleep. And I read this article about like all these industry insiders talking about Warner Brothers and how they are a filmmaker studio so that the individual filmmakers can make whatever they want and that they feel like there's a lot of equity in doing that because it makes sense. I mean, when the filmmakers have control, then they're going to feel better about the project and they're going to drive it and it'll be their vision. Well, the problem with that is if you want to tell a big universe with a lot of different films, there has to be a cohesiveness. There has to be something that really connects them together. Yeah. You need somebody to be kind of a mastermind on top of that. And that's what Kevin Feige has been for Marvel. If DC really wants to get their stuff together, they need a Kevin Feige.
Yeah, they need somebody to put that Batman and Superman together and make it.
What are they redoing? Yeah. We just gonna start all this over.
Because of how they implemented Flash and it was not really. He came back.
Did you know that was Flash?
Bruce. Yeah. He's like, man.
Oh, this movie's gonna be terrible. It's gonna stop. Just stop now. You know it's bad. I think I said this on our show.
Millions, but it's gonna suck.
It's gonna be really confusing. You know it's bad when the Flash is already coming back to reboot the universe in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
So somebody maybe knows that we might need to wipe this off the face of the planet.
One of the things about when Superman fights is just like he gets down to the ground breaks, he breaks everything, beats everything up. But I remember when the movie first came on, Civil War, my eyes were just moving from screen to screen, like every play, Captain America threw his shield, he drop kicks somebody.
One thing I took from Batman versus Superman, that Batman is out still the truth, like because he created everything that killed everybody.
Yeah,
like,
no. Look, Batman. I will say this in Batman versus Superman. I hate that movie because I hate what it didn't do, what it should have done, and what it could have been. I hate it so much. But I will say this. Ben Affleck did a really good job as Batman. For everything else, he filled the suit, man. We haven't had a Batman that's actually filled the suit ever. Like, you remember Adam West back in the day with the 60s Batman? It was kind of all flabby Batman. This is actually a Batman that
he looked like
the suit.
He do like in a video game, kind of like. Oh. The fighting style was just like that, too.
Those Arkham games, man.
Like, I was like, Batman.
He was kind of scary. He was a little creepy.
He did it. So I feel like there's a missed. I said on panel of the screen that Ben Affleck should sue Zack Snyder and sue Warner Brothers for stealing his childhood because he finally got a chance to be Batman.
Oh, yeah.
He did a great job as Batman.
Yeah.
Everything around him was terrible. Plus his motivations. You know, the Lex Luthor that we got with what's the kid's name?
Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg. So that
week.
He was terrible. Although I tell everybody, I was like, look, we got a great Lex Luthor. But I mean, he was wearing a bat costume the entire time. Because I mean, like, this Batman was really more of a Lex Luthor than Lex Luthor was.
But like, he killed, he made the kryptonite stick that killed Doomsday.
No, he was working.
Weakened, he had the gas that weakened Superman.
No, he was Batman with prep time, man.
He was working.
Then Lois Lane shows up and throws it in the water. And then you think Aquaman's going
to
show
dumb.
Up.
That was dumb. Like, oh, I was in the movie like, all right, so they're going to have to go get that again. Like, then she went back and then she almost died. Spoiler alert. Like,
Who cares? Nobody's if you haven't seen it yet, good. Yeah. You're doing everybody a favor. Don't go see that movie. I'll spoil everything.
But yeah, just the action on Civil War. I love when it first come on, and you just know somebody finna get whooped.
Yeah,
somebody finna get beat up.
But, shout out to ScarJo though. Like,
who? Yeah,
she was doing ScarJo some fighting.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, that's the thing. I mean, you know, Hawkeye and Black Widow, in terms of the fight scene, they're the only two up there with like. No super suit, no superpowers.
Like, y'all could die.
Yeah, we're vulnerable.
What was that scene when, like, it was Black Panther versus Hawkeye, and Hawkeye's like, we haven't been properly introduced. He's like, I do not care.
I'm in the queue.
And I was thinking, like, because everybody else is kind of holding their punches, because, like, all right, well, we need to stop you, but it's not like we're going to kill you. But then, like, Black Panther's like, I don't know this guy.
But Black Panther's going. Like everybody was like,
why Black Panther kidding him?
He being serious. Like, he taking it for real.
Well, it was him and Ant-Man and Spider-Man were kind of the wild cards. Yeah. Except, you know, Spider-Man starts talking.
And
they're like,
War Machine.
Well, but even War Machine.
Whatever Iron Man going to do, he going to do.
Yeah, but I mean, like, War Machine, they know War Machine. Because War Machine was actually in Ultron.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was an Avenger then, and actually, yeah, so going into this movie, he was part of the new Avengers. Mm. So, you know, he had the connection, but it's just all of the new characters that were not actually Avengers. Mm. You know, if you're going to that fight and you're about to go up against somebody, you know, if it's Black Widow versus Hawkeye, they both have an objective, but they're not going to kill each other. They might be sore when they're walking away, and they probably will, but they're not going to kill each other. But if you go up against this, you know, this guy, the super powered person with the spider costume and like web shooters, like, all right, is this guy going to kill me? And then he starts talking. He's like, hey, I'm just really excited to be here. He's like, okay, I'm fine. I'll choose Spider-Man.
And man, he was doing a good
when
job.
When he grabbed his arm.
Giant
like,
man.
He saw how he grabbed his arm. Like, he was like.
But when he did that, it just made you realize like, oh yeah, Spider-Man is super duper strong and can jump. And
well, when he catches the thing, right?
Yeah, like, oh my God. Like,
I said, yo, you forgot
you fit
this.
Right in.
Yeah. You know, I need to go back and watch that, because when Cap drops the big, whatever it was, like a truck or something on top of him. He's like holding it. He's like, where are you from? Queens. Brooklyn. You know, like, that was a great moment. But that was something about that. I was like, man, did Cap just throw this massive thing at this kid? Did he know that kid could catch it? Like, that was kind of a thought process there.
Yeah, because Cap originally didn't know.
What if he didn't catch it? Like, oh, Cap just killed Spider-Man.
But I will say that. So those two characters, right? The characters we got introduced to, Spider-Man and Black Panther, the first introduction to the universe, they both represented kind of the soul of the film, because Spider-Man was, if he had known what was going on, he wouldn't have been on Stark's side, right? Like, even when he's talking in the room, he's making Cap's argument to Stark. And so, like, you know, there's kind of this innocence to him, but then there's also, again, it's the hero king and judge, right? That Black Panther is, and the process that he goes to to realize violence begets more violence, and it doesn't stop until somebody stops. And you know, and he makes, you know, in the moment where he has the ability, right? At this point, it's not vengeance. He's got the killer, right? Because Zemo is right there. Zemo has confessed. He's got the killer. Here he is at this moment. Vengeance is gone. Justice is here. He's got the ability to take justice, and he chooses mercy. Like, that's the hero king, right? So, like, man, I'm stoked about everything that's coming out for the Marvel Universe, but I think Black Panther and Wakanda in general, I'm super stoked about.
It's gonna be dope how they play the jungle and everything. Like, like, this the first, like, you ain't never been in the jungle before. Like,
so the thing is, I mean, Wakanda, I don't know how familiar you are with the comic. Like you said,
I'm not familiar with it.
So Wakanda, it's a sovereign nation in Africa that's never been imperialized, right? So it's been kind of untouched. On top of that, it also is kind of built on this metal, vibranium, which is the most powerful substance in the world. And so, you know, when they're in that that chamber, right, where they carbon free or they do the carbonite thing with the Winter Soldier, there's a lot of super science that's going on around that.
Yeah, he's got a big Black Panther.
He's rich. Black, they got money.
He's, not only does he have money, they've got technology. And it's technology that's been, you know, kind of used in a way that hasn't been used anywhere else in the world. You know, we see throughout the films, like Tony Stark doing his little holographic phone and flipping that all over the place. That's cool, but I have a feeling when we see Wakanda, it's going to take that to a whole nother level. I'm really stoked about what they do there.
Yeah.
But appreciate that. Good conversation.
Man.
You never cease to. I think I just learned more than I came here with.
I just had fun hanging out, guys. Look, anytime y'all want to geek out a little bit, I'm all for it.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm glad we did this. We hooked up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anything you want to say?
I mean, yeah, it was cool chopping it up with you, man. Nah, I don't really have too much. Like, I'm saying, I got to go watch some Marvel films. I want to go back and watch Iron Man. Yeah.
I'm going to see Civil War at least one more time while it's in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
That for sure.
I'm going to wait till it get on bootleg and all.
You wasn't none of the, you know, you
whatever, man.
About
back
that.
Back in my college days, I used to do late night work at the IHOP. I forget where it's off of, but it's like in between here and Clinton. Mm. And at 1 o'clock at night, every single night, dude comes in with bootleg videos, and like he had his booth. It was like his office. Yeah. Like, you know, the staff at IHOP got first pick and everything. Yeah. else. And then anybody else would kind of roll in.
Are these good, man?
With that good quality.
You know, I'm not saying I bought any. Yeah. I'm just saying that happened.
You see that TV right there? Yeah, it looked just like that TV.
You get it, right? Lying.
But now, let's talk kickback. Pretty sure everybody's slapping through with them.
Yeah. Absolutely. You mind if I promote some stuff real quick?
No
problem. Do your thing.
Download Satchel. Go to satchelplayer.com.
Satchel.
Yeah. If if you got an Android device, you can download it today. If you've got an iPhone, you can download it in June. You can sign up there to actually get it. If you are a podcaster, if you want to start a podcast or whatever, register it with Satchel. So that'll help you out. And hey, if you're listening to this podcast on Satchel, send some money to the Kickback. Kickback needs a kickback.
Thank you.
That'd be dope. For real.
And also, don't forget Mississippi Left Me Out documentary, May 18th, yes. Convention Center. Be there.
I'm the star of that film, by the way.
Yeah.
I do some voiceover.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go check that out too. Like, is it cool? Like for a day, I ex.
Yeah. I'm bringing a little date.
Go for it. Wednesday is the big release. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be good. I'll be out of town, but it'll be good.
Let's talk kickback. It's your boy J Red.
Your boy Jamar Fresh.
Yep.